Hi, my name is Renaud Saint-Calme, and today I will present a parallel implementation of TabuSog procedure for stochastic mind scheduling. First, I will begin with an introduction describing the kind of input we're working with. After, I will formulate the problem mathematically. I'll follow with the sequential implementation we base our algorithm on. After, I will present the parallel algorithm we propose to handle the problem. I will provide the benchmarking of the different algorithm we propose. I will follow with an application at the gold deposit, and I'll finish with conclusion and future research. So first, the kind of input we're working with, it's a typical deposit with three material types. You have the waste block that go to the waste dump, the low-grade material that go to the leach pad, and the high-grade material that go to the mill or to a stockpile. So what we need to do is to when a block should be extracted in order to maximize the overall NPV subject to physical constraints, and we also want to control deviation from production target. So now the formulation, first with the objective function, it consists, we want to maximize first part. The first one is the NPV. It's the profit we made by processing the block in different process. We subtract the stockpiling cost, the cost incurred by stockpiling material. We add the profit we made by processing from the stockpile, and we subtract what we call the geological risk management that try to reduce the deviation from production target. In our geological risk management, two penalties are taken into account. The one that is the leach pad, we penalize oversending to the leach pad. And for the mill, we penalize oversending and undersending material to the mill. What I mean by deviation is giving a production schedule and different set of our body model. We compute for each our body the metal content for each period, each simulation, and we subtract from the target, and that gives us our deviation. The constraint we're working with is the reserve constraint. A block should only be mined once. The slope constraint to a block should be mined after its predecessor. The mining capacity for the equipment of the mine. For each process, we have a processing target that we want to reach, and we have the stockpile balancing constraint that ensure we're not taking more than actually have in the stockpile. The solution we propose is based on meta-heuristic approach because they prove to solve large-scale problems, and they usually run fast and they are very easy to parallelize. We propose an adaptation of the taboo search method that tried to tackle the global optimization problem, and we propose today three type of parallel implementation. The first one is parallel independent taboo search. The second one is parallel interacting taboo search, and the third one is we call parallel neighborhood sampling. So first, a brief overview of the sequential approach. We generate an initial solution. After, we increase the solution by applying the taboo search. And at a certain point in our algorithm, we use a diversification strategy in order to renew an initial solution and to apply taboo search again. How does it work? Taboo search, it's a neighborhood descent. So what I mean by neighborhood, giving a certain schedule. A neighborhood of the schedule is a schedule that differ only from one block scheduling in an early period or later period. By example, in this pit, if we decide to mine this one earlier, then this one is a feasible neighborhood of the other schedule. And this you can do the same by pushing later a block. How does taboo search work? We start from an initial solution and we increase the solution until we reach local optima. And then we are load decreasing of the solution by adding the move to a taboo list, so we're sure to not cycle again and again to the same local optima. And we do that until stopping criteria is met. It's a number of iteration without any improvement, or an old move are considered taboo. After, when this is reached, we use a diversification strategy to get a new point. And by example, we want to go, we want to escape from this local optima and to jump to another one. And we do this by applying a sequence of shift, not just one, but multiple. and we hope to escape and to reach the global sea. So the first parallel implementation we propose is parallel and dependent taboo search. Is basically the simple way of parallelism, starting with n different point in space. Each thread start with a different point and evolute independent, completely independent during all the algorithm. And at the end, when all the threads finish, we select the best one overall as the global optimum. So it's good because if one thread can do m, we can do n by n different taboo search. In the same time, we're supposed to do n, just n. So it's good because we cover the search space more extensively. But the disadvantage is that there's no live communication of the promising space, and the different word run can search the local, the same local space. Like they can jump into the same space each time and just search a small space. So in order to handle the last disadvantage, we propose the second one, that is parallel interacting taboo search. Again, we start from n different points in the space, and each thread have one point, and they evolute independently during the search. But when the diversification strategy need to be applied, we use the best solution over all thread in order to diversify with this one. And we use a mixture of the search history. What I mean is by including the fact that in the long-term structure of each thread, they have the history of the space they're searching for. When we mix both, we try to jump into a space that wasn't explored yet, neither by one or the other solution. So again, we can do n by n different taboo search, so we cover the space more extensively. And it's true, it's more true because by using the mixture of the local history, we can diversify in unknown space yet. The disadvantage is they add synchronicity in the communication for each thread. And also there's no live communication of the promising space. What I mean by there, it's like if one of the thread see a space that seems very promising, it cannot tell directly the other thread. And in our third implementation, we try to assess this problem. The third one is called parallel neighborhood sample. And a recall of the sequential taboo search is that it's too deterministic. If we start with only one point, even if we always use the, depending on the history and the structure, we always use the more promising move to go back. In this case, we start from this point, we move up, and after we go down by the lowest slope until we reach the certain number of iteration without improvement. And then we want to jump in this space by chance by applying diversification strategy. What we propose in the other one is by starting from the same point. If the point can see 360 degrees around him, maybe he will choose another path and not just the best one. So what we do, starting from the same point, we launch n different taboo search in n different directions using a sample of the space, and each one evolved independently during a certain number of iterations. And at a certain point, we choose the best one over all the points, and we restart the algorithm on this point. So it's all you, and in this case, we try to reach the global optima faster than using the other technique. What the advantage of this technique is that it uses the knowledge of promising region to guideline the search, like a spider web. And it's used in intensify the local search space. Instead of just following one path in a certain local area, we do more intensive just a local space. The disadvantage is the complexity of communication and the complexity of defining good neighbor operator. What I mean by there is, in our case, we just sample the whole neighborhood and we give just a subset to each one of the threads. But maybe one can think by splitting the neighborhood differently or choosing a completely different operator. It can arrive to a better solution faster. So, I recall we proposed three methods. The first one evolved all independently. The second one evolved independently and diversify according to the best one. And the third one it can be seen as seeing 360 degrees around you. Now we need to benchmark our methods. First, I provide the implementation specific about the computer. It's a computer anyone can have at home. It's a Dell Inspiron 1, 4-core with 8 master thread, Core i7, Technology Sandy Bridge, 8 gigs of RAM, Windows 7. And we use OpenMP 2.0 as the API for parallel implementation. We test our deposit on two small instances, one of 5,000 blocks and one on 20,000 blocks, from 3 to 5 periods. And for the small one, we use 1 minute for one run, and for the second one, we use 15 minutes. Okay, so here you can see the threading improvement. On the x-axis, you have the number of threads we allow for the algorithm. On the left axis, you have the NPV, that is the of all the global for from the global optima. And on the right, you have the number of taboo search we can execute. You can see there seems to have a correlation between more number of threads and a better solution. And for the first one, when they all interact independently, it seems that even with a small number of threads, you can reach a high value solution, but this is just because it's random. So you can jump random in the space, and even with a low number of iteration, you can reach a very close solution. You can see that for all the other two, they seem to have a trend that more you have threads, more you will have a better solution. You can see on the second graph the quality of the solution. You see for the first one, the difference is not that much, but for the third approach, the multi-threading, you see the benefits of the multi-threading over this algorithm. Here we benchmark the optimality of our solution. You can see that for the small instance, we are very, very close to the optimal solution for any of the three methods. But as the size increases, the second one trends to give better results. And also what is interesting is that if we generate a random solution at the beginning, we finish more close to the optimal than by giving a close, near optimal solution at the beginning. So the improvement, as you can see here, it's really better starting from random input. Now I give an application at a gold deposit. We cannot benchmark the optimality of this deposit since it's a medium to large size deposit, and we cannot have the linear relaxation value. It's a 73,000 blocks, 16 period, 14 R body models. What we propose to do is to use the second method, because it seems to provide better results for large instance. And we do 7 taboo search with 10 hours each. So that's not so bad for this kind of deposit. We can see here the risk profile for the metal content. You see that the risk at the beginning is less than the risk at the end. So it's good because later on we'll have more information to assess the risk. And you can see also that we send a better high-grade material at the beginning than at the end. And it's also good for the NPV since with the discounting factor, more we have money now, better it is. We see also for the second graphics figure, the meal processing. You see that there's no risk in the early period, and the risk is pushed to earlier. That's also good, and that we meet a target during the first 9 years, and after we begin to deviate. But this is also good, since the geological risk management is done for that. We see here the tonnage for the mill the leaching process. Because we just have an upper bound, we see that we never oversend to the mill, but we have a high variability in the quantity sent, because it's just marginal material for all the simulation that is sent to this process. You see, what is interesting to see also is the meal stockpile. You see that there is a very high variability all along the life of the mine in the stockpile. It's in fact because it's added as a buffer for the uncertainty. We try to push all material we can on the early period so that all scenario the target is satisfied. But in some simulation they are more hard than on this the other one, so all the surplus is sent to the stockpile for those scenarios. We see here the waste at the risk profile for the waste tonnage. Even though they have a high peak in the three in the third period, it's still a feasible waste tonnage. And you see that there's almost no risk about what is waste or not. So still, this is good. The rock tonnage is no risk since the tonnage is assumed constant for all the simulations. You see here the cumulative NPV for the project. You see at the beginning there's almost no risk and it's pushed to later period, and again this is good. And we see in the last figure is the objective function. We want to assess the how perform the geological risk management on our deposit. You can see that here at the beginning, even though we just have 1,000 tons of deviation, it's incurred a high amount of deviation compared to later on when we deviate from almost 6 million tons to the mill, and it's incurred almost no cost in the cumulative NPV. So this parameter seems to be good for our problem. So in conclusion, we propose many different algorithms. Each one is a trade-off between the complexity and of communication and the number of iterations we can put. And we do this to maximize the efficiency of the implementation. And we see also that parallelism is an easy and cheap way to improve actual algorithm. What I mean by easy and cheap is that for some algorithm it's very straightforward to parallelize them, and it's cheap because it's allow us to use the full power of the computer we have now instead of investing in huge technology investment. So in conclusion, for future research, we want to adapt the proposed method for multi-pot, multi-mine and multi-element deposits. And we want to add more realistic constraints, such as grade blending constraint, and add a fully stochastically designed stockpile. So thank you.